hey everybody, welcome to Voices from the Frontlines. This is your host, Eric Mann. You're on KPFK, which we're going to talk a lot about today, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. Also, when I was in New Orleans, 90.7 FM had really great music. 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara and streaming live on the web on kpfk.org. You can also check out our website from this show, www.voicesfromthefrontlines.com. And you can email me at eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com. And you can tweet me at ericmanspeaks. Love to hear from you. And yes, I will read your stuff on the air. We're going to raise money today. And I want to talk to you about fun drives, because we're going to have a lot of fun drives. So how do we have fun drives? You know what I mean? I mean, let's make these fun drives fun. Because, you know, there's all this talk about how we're going to get rid of the fun drives and have less fun drives. But what we want to do is make fun drives good programming. So you're going to have good program today. We're going to have two amazing interviews. One with Indisha Jakali, who you heard. This is from the two-hour special we did about a month ago. And we're going to do clips also from the late Julian Bond. And then I'm going to give a report from New Orleans that I want to tell you about. And also tell you about my new book. I'm pretty excited. No, I'm very excited. It's Katrina's Legacy at 10. I'm going to give you the long title in a minute. No, I'll give it to you now as I memorize it. It is Katrina's Legacy, The Black Nation, The Black Latino Alliance, Indigenous Peoples Movements, The Third Reconstruction, The Nations of Africa, Asia, and Latin America, and Third World Women Confront the U.S. Imperialist White Settler State and its Climate Crimes. The concept of having such a long title is because the movement doesn't have any theory right now. The movement is just doing things. And this forces people to look at this title and say, wow, is this like a list of all the bad stuff, or what is this purpose of such a long subtitle? And the answer is to raise some level of actual strategy. It's a fairly long subtitle and a very short discussion of strategy. So I'm going to talk to you about that, 818-985-5735. So here are the premiums today, folks, and this is what I want to do. And we're going to talk to some of you. We're going to be calling some of you Voices listeners to call us, 818-985-5735. What I'd like to do is just continue to have great programming during the fun drives and have a lot of you ready to give money and wanting to give money. We're going to give all the time. I mean, let's just be honest. That's what I'm understanding about it, is that if you want to support Voices, then 4 to 5 every Tuesday, you listen, and then every 8 to 10 weeks, it's Fun Drive. And you know it's Fun Drive, and then it's the same thing. It's the same show. You call in, we raise money, and we keep going. That's what I want to do. So I'm hoping today that we can have a good time and listen to both Indisha Jakali and the late Julian Bond and my report from New Orleans. Alan Minsky is going to be on a little bit, who I like raising money with. But let me tell you about the premiums. Our new general manager, Leslie Radford, has been saying, look, we have a financial, I don't want to say crisis. I don't think crisis is helpful. We have a financial challenge. How's that? A normal challenge in the station, which is we're always raising money. That's the problem with the station, is it's always raising money for its present instead of raising money for its future. We're going to change that, but not right away. So right now, the reality is that this place runs and raises money in order to just operate. So they're also saying that some of these premiums actually cost a lot of money. So I'm donating 3 premiums. That's the only choice you got. And 3 of my books, and I'm going to have them all signed. So one is called Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. That was my short title, folks. And I've been reading it in preparation for my new book, because the old book, or I should say the original book, is going to be part of the new book. That is to say, it is Katrina's Legacy that was written in 2006, but with a lot of new material in the front and a lot of new material in the back. But we're going to literally reprint the book just as it was in the middle of the new, fatter book. My second book, Playbook for Progressives, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer, is also a sort of a self-help book because it is teaching you a lot about how to organize, but it's more about how to be a successful organizer. And I'll tell you the truth, 818-985-5735, the way to be a successful organizer is to just be a successful person. That is to say, the same qualities for successful organizer are being relentless, being a good listener, fighting to win, finishing the job, having a good work ethic. 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. We have right now today, we have Julian Lamb and Channing Martinez from the Strategy Center on the phones. We're both in front of the microphone and behind the microphone. So that's my second book. My third book is Dispatches from Durban, First-Hand Commentaries on the World Conference Against Racism and Post-September 11th Movement Strategies. I like subtitles. And that's a great book. Of course, I've written them all, so they are. But they're really exciting books. Dispatches from Durban, we sold almost 2,000 copies in Johannesburg, South Africa, to South Africans. And we're going to be taking Katrina's legacy to Paris for the United Nations Framework Climate Change Conference. So why don't we play the first clip of Julian Bond? So let me just frame this for a minute. I think you know that, again, thanks to KPFK and thanks to the Strategy Center, because we funded ourselves, myself, Julian Lamb, Catherine Murphy, and William Sabourin went down to Jackson, Mississippi in June, July of 2014 for the 50th anniversary of Mississippi Freedom Summer. I am going to do, I'm way behind, but yes, I'm going to do some compilation of this. And we have amazing conversations with people. It was kind of shocking to me when Julian Bond died at 75 to realize what a beautiful conversation I had with him. And thank goodness it is on tape. Now, you hear a little bit of background noise. Apparently, there was air conditioning or something. But his voice is clear as a bell. We're going to have about 8 minutes of Julian Bond, and then we're going to go to the phones, 818-985-5735, and hopefully, please call. It matters to us how many people call, and of course, it matters how much you call. 818-985-5735. I want to be able to read your names over the air, and usually at 4:15, Alan's going to hopefully come in with some good numbers. Thank you, G.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines. We're on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. Every single conversation I've had has changed my views of things, have influenced me in the present. There's very little nostalgia here. There are people who are continuing to do work, continue to think, and trying to talk about obviously a pivotal experience for an entire generation. But most of the people here on the 50th anniversary are on the 50th anniversary of their organizing. So in that context, we're really happy to have Julian Bond with us, who's been a very important figure in the civil rights, black liberation, progressive movement. He was obviously one of the leaders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which we'll talk about. He was elected to the Georgia State Legislature and denied admission, and that became a very important coastal lever. And you might not think that people of those politics would run for office. And then he's moved through many, many different incarnations, and I believe you were chairman of the board of the NAACP. And on the 50th anniversary of SNCC, I think you gave a really terrific speech.
Thank you. Worked hard on that.
It was a very thoughtful effort at the struggle of black people and where are they now. So in that context, Julian Bond, really nice to be with you.
Well, good to be here. Thank you for this.
What was the pivotal moment in your life when you went from believing in things to thinking you had a real obligation to act?
Well, it must have been in 1960 when a student approached me in a cafe in Atlanta and held up a newspaper to me and said, "Have you seen this?" I thought he was talking about, "Do you read the paper?" But he was talking about an article about the Greensboro sit-in and prompted me to join him in repeating that here in Atlanta. And that's when I took my first big step.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah.
You saw a picture and you organized a sit-in.
Right, exactly.
How were you treated?
Pretty well. Atlanta was a relatively moderate place in race relations. If you got outside the city, you're in real trouble, but within the city limits, it was okay. So the police acted as you want policemen to. Nothing really harmful, but it was a good introduction to activism for me.
Now, I make a distinction between activism and organizing, because to me, activism is an act of participation. Organization becomes a long-term commitment and actually building an institution. When did you think you made the transition from seeing yourself as an activist to someone who wanted to build an institution like SNCC?
Shortly after the incident I just told you about, and it's interesting because I got involved in the sit-in demonstrations believing that would be a relatively short-lived act process. But I joined the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee believing that would be relatively short-lived, but longer than the sit-ins.
Right.
And didn't think it would last forever for the rest of my life, and of course it didn't. But thought that would be a little longer lasting. Then I joined the NAACP, which was already ancient at that time, and is over 109 years old now. So that was another example of longevity with an organization. And I'm not really associated with any organization right now, but still I'm doing many of the things I was doing in those other organizations.
Well, let's go back to relationships with some pivotal figures, okay? Ella Baker.
Ella Baker, I was thinking about her today. We saw a picture of her after the scream when we were talking about those who passed away. Ella Baker lived in an apartment building in Atlanta called the Walla Haji. It was named after the people who built it, whose names were Wallace and Hodges, hence Walla Haji. And she had a very small apartment there. And I remember visiting her in her apartment and her taking out a quart of bourbon, which was welcome to me at the time. I was drinking bourbon at the time. And she was just a remarkable person. And peculiarly, or maybe not peculiarly, I could never call her Ella. Many of the women who worked for SNCC called her Ella. But I called her Miss Baker. She was always Miss Baker to me, and she always will be Miss Baker to me. And she was such an expert at saying to you, not do this, but have you thought of doing that? And there's a great difference between those two things. And she was just a master at it.
So, hey, everybody, that was the late Julian Bond. It's very, I don't know why it's so scary to me about his death. I mean, a lot of my friends have been dying lately. But to have seen him that vital, and there's a quote in my article on Counterpunch, because this entire interview was printed in Counterpunch and also in Huffington Post. And today it's actually on Alternet, so you can go on Alternet under activism. And if you haven't seen it, it's running. They just ran it right now, so that's great. Death is very scary. I mean, death is just very, very scary. He was there. He looked fine, you know. And when he said, we don't know if we're going to see some of these people again, I didn't grasp that it could be that we would not see Julian Bond again. So fortunately, thanks to the Pacifica station, I mean this, thanks to KPFK, we can bring Julian Bond's life to continuation, continue his work, 818-985-5735. And I wanted to explain how the premiums work, okay? We only have, if you give $50, you can pick any one of my books. If you have $100 or more, you can get all three of the books. So when you call in, if it's $50, just say Playbook for Progressives or Katrina's Legacy or Dispatches from Durban. If you give $100, just say, I want all three books. That's the easy one. So why don't you give $100 so they don't have to remember what book you wanted. And I am going to sign a bunch of them. So they'll be, you know, they'll be at least worth a dollar more than the list price with my signature on it. So 818-985-5735, guess what? The phones are ringing off the hook. Of course, some of this I called my friends and said, please, please, it's important. You know, we got to raise the money. But it's fun going into the phone room and seeing people on the phone. I'll be honest with you, folks. I've been there where it's dead. So it's hard to get back in front of the microphone and say 818-985-5735. But here's the deal. We've got to raise at least $2,000, and we're going to try to get $3,000 every Voices show. I know a lot of you listen. It's really cool. The security guard in my building, Hassan, listens. I'll tell you a really good story. I went to Pollo a la Brasa, and I almost never go there. I love the chicken, but I almost never go. And I'm talking to the guy at the Pollo a la Brasa, and he gives me the food. And then when I sign my name, he goes, Eric Mann, I love your show. So a lot of people out there are listening to the show. Every security guard, the last security guard left my, I don't know why I have a big security guard following, but.
They have a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah. So the last security guard said to me, hey, I got transferred, but don't worry, I'm still going to listen to the show. So we got people out there listening, and it looks like we got people calling in and giving money. You got any numbers, Alan?
I haven't yet, but we'll check on that shortly. And, of course, it's a $50 pledge for the new edition of Katrina's Legacy and a $100 pledge for that book plus two others by Eric Mann.
Yeah, let's be clear. It's not for the new edition. The new edition is coming out November 19th, and that's going to be at a book signing.
Okay.
So Alan's giving away my brand-new book before it came out.
Oops.
That's okay. Keep Thursday, November 19th in mind because we're going to have a wonderful book signing at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. That's called The New Katrina's Legacy, but the original Katrina's Legacy. And I'll just tell you an interesting story, which is I was down in New Orleans and I was at this wonderful fish restaurant and they have this amazing bar where they have these grilled oysters. Oh my God, covered with butter, you know, like garlic. So I have the book next to me because I was talking to a young organizer about the new edition. And I mean, five different people came over and said, oh, thank you, white racism and black reconstruction. Can I buy the book? Can I buy the book? And I said, no, this is the only copy I got. So people down in New Orleans, which I'm going to talk about, are really angry and really hurt that 10 years later, I'm going to tell you on the next break about my trip to New Orleans because it is really heartbreaking. And exciting, because I always meet with organizers. So 818-985-5735-G. Do we also have the Andisha Jankali interview? Why don't we go there? I'm going to have Andisha Jankali, and we'll have Alan talk for a minute, is a really wonderful organizer. And thanks to Alan and Leslie, we were given a two-hour slot from 4 to 6 to do both Julian Bond and Katrina at 10. 818-985-5735. Alan, tell us about why and how we give more money.
Well, you call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. I can tell you, man, on this book, Katrina's Legacy, there are recommendations from people. Ai-Jen Poo, a very important organizer, one of the great organizers in America today. Glenn Ford, someone who KPFK listeners is familiar with. And Vijay Prashad, a brilliant history professor who is also familiar to KPFK listeners, give just astonishing quotes on the back about the importance of this book. I'll maybe read those later on. But this book is called Katrina's Legacy, and its relevance today is as great as ever, folks. White racism and black reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. This really cuts to the core of some of the central issues that continue to confront every aspect of American social organization, society, culture, etc., politics, of course, economics, of course. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. For just a $50 pledge, pick up Katrina's Legacy, get it with two other books by Eric Mann for a $100 pledge. But most importantly, call in and pledge to make sure this radio station keeps going, because you don't hear this kind of trenchant critique of society anywhere else. We know that people recognize the faults in mainstream media, and when people learn about Pacifica, they are astonished that it exists, they are pleased that it exists, they can't stop listening. So make sure more people have this available moving forward. 818-985-5735.
So folks, what you're going to listen to now is to Andisha Jankali, who's an organizer from New Orleans, who is also on the show. 818-985-5735. The reason why Katrina's Legacy is so important now is because, as I'll explain, I just came back from New Orleans, and we really are trying to make a demand that 100,000 black people be returned, because they are missing, disappeared. 100,000 black people are disappeared from New Orleans. We want to bring back their right to return and their effective right to return. So Andisha Jankali is one of the groups that's really been fighting on this. If we could please play the clip now. 818-985-5735. Confront the U.S. imperialist white settler state and its genocidal climate crimes. More importantly, Andisha, you're living it, whether you have that analysis or not. Let's start with, where is Katrina 10 years later? Start with maybe the lower Ninth Ward, if you could, and we'll move outward from there.
Well, I think firstly, in order to talk about where Katrina is, first, we must understand that Katrina was a Category 3 storm that missed New Orleans, never hit New Orleans. It hit the Mississippi Gulf Coast and demolished parts of Mississippi, and even Alabama got hit worse than New Orleans. What New Orleans got was a flood that was caused by the negligence of the Corps of Engineers after putting billions of dollars of money into seawalls that people call levees. They were improperly and cheaply done by contractors who were politically connected, and the tidal surge from the Gulf of Mexico flooded Lake Pontchartrain, which is an estuary of the Gulf, and the lake flooded the city. We did not have a natural disaster. We missed the natural disaster. What we had was a man-made disaster. And the politics of that man-made disaster was the opportunistic rebuilding of the city after it was flooded. And it was not flooded after Katrina. We were outside having hurricane parties because the only thing we really had was the absence of power. When the seawalls gave out, water came gradually in most areas, and the water basically flooded over a period of 4 to 7 days. To the extent in my neighborhood, it stopped at about 12 feet. But it was several days after Katrina that we had a significant flood. Except, segueing into the Lower Ninth Ward, except for the Lower Ninth Ward, where by some sort of miracle, a barge knocked down the seawall and allowed the Lower Ninth Ward to have a tidal wave flood, which drowned over 1,000 people, old people, and other people who could not get out or could not be evacuated, primarily because of economic issues. And those people were the ones that died. And people in the Lower Ninth Ward tend to think that this was no accident. We can't prove it. But if that barge had not knocked down the seawall in the Lower Ninth Ward, the water would have traveled down the Industrial Canal to the river and flooded downtown New Orleans.
Well, let me ask you this, Indisha, to keep this going. That one of the things I think is interesting is that, as you say, it's both a man-made, I would argue that so was the hurricane man-made, but we can come back to that. That Ninth Ward itself was man-made because it was 98% black. I was there, you know, a year afterwards. And the mold, the destruction of the property, and the virtual absence of any money to rebuild it when all entire other parts of the city were being rebuilt, right? What's been going on? And, you know, I know there have been some liberals coming down and trying to do some, you know, specific rebuilds, but what is the state of the Lower Ninth Ward today?
Well, the Lower Ninth Ward, like most parts of New Orleans, there's two of everything. There's two Lower Ninth Wards. There's the Holy Cross District, which is a primarily middle-class area that is owned by whites, even though they don't live there.
Hmm.
And the Holy Cross Neighborhood Association is still controlled by whites that do not live in the city. The Holy Cross Neighborhood is built on a ridge, which is the highest ground in the Lower Ninth Ward. That is probably 25% of the Lower Ninth Ward, and all the effort and the resources has been placed in rebuilding Holy Cross. Now, the other 75%, which goes from St. Claude Avenue to Florida Avenue is primarily all black, and that area is barely coming back. I mean, there's very little difference. The further you go to Florida Avenue, meaning the further you go away from the river and the property that is owned primarily by non-blacks, the worse it gets. If you get all the way to Florida, from Claiborne to Florida, you could think that you stepped out and saw the hurricane almost yesterday.
Wow.
Except for a couple of blocks that people call the Brad Pitt blocks.
All right. You might as well, why don't you tell us about the Brad Pitt blocks?
Okay, so the Brad Pitt blocks are a series of maybe 2 to 3 blocks that they had a contest to design eco kind of houses with all kind of crazy shapes. Of course, if this is a blank canvas, you can do whatever you wanted to.
Right.
And they have built these non-New Orleanian, non-Southern houses, even though they are with the sun, solar power and stuff. They have basically created a little village among themselves with higher income people that can afford to buy his property, because it would cost 4 to 5 times what the property would cost prior to the storm. And people should understand that Brad Pitt did not give one house to one person. All of these houses were purchased. You had to go through the normal procedure of credit, of having good credit, having a down payment, and you had to have the proper income. So these houses were not given to the people that used to live in the lower Ninth Ward, which was a very low income area. The Brad Pitt houses has brought in new people into the lower Ninth Ward on a much more upscale level.
Hey, everybody. This is Eric Mann. 818-985-5735. You're on KPFK. That was Indisha Jakali, and I'm about to follow up with that because I just came back from the lower Ninth Ward. And if you can imagine, it was every step is bad. I saw the Brad Pitt homes that I'll tell you about. But 818-985-5735, we need to raise $2,000. We're at $1,000 already. We got a lot of people calling, which is great. So remember, $50, and you can give any level you can. Any level, but at $50, you get a copy of my book, Katrina's Legacy, White Racism, Black Reconstruction, New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. And for $100, you also get Playbook for Progressives, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer, and Dispatches from Durban, first-hand commentaries on the World Conference Against Racism, and post-September 11th movement strategies. Three of the finest books written in the last 20 years by me. They're among my finest books. So, since I've written 7 or 8. I want to tell you about New Orleans, but first I want to read some names, okay? And I want to thank you. Manuel from L.A., Anonymous. I really want to thank Anonymous because you call a lot. You must have a lot of money, and you're anonymous. Ashley Franklin, Mark Gomez from L.A., I really appreciate that. Kamaji Ferey, Barbara Lott Holland, Noemi Soto, and 3 more anonymous than Eric Mann.
Yes, somebody actually donated in honor of you, and something was mentioned about grandchildren.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice. It's very nice about
somebody's grandchildren.
Well, if it's about my grandchildren, that would mean a lot. So let me tell you some thoughts about the Lower Ninth Ward. It was scary. I went there in 2006, and that was 1 year after Katrina. I brought the book, Katrina's Legacy. It had just come out, and I went down to the Lower Ninth Ward, and it was scary as heck then. I mean, back then, everything was blown out. You have to understand that in my new book, I'm going into even more detail about how the system did not want black people to come back to New Orleans at all, and how there was a ruling class conspiracy That is to say, 6 days after Hurricane Katrina, a group of corporate, mainly corporate forces, this was reported in the Wall Street Journal, I know I don't do enough work about the economic system, but the capitalist class, the imperialist class, because these were transnational imperialists, said, we are not coming back to New Orleans unless New Orleans changes. The only black people in the room were Ray Nagin, the mayor, who was very tied, of course, to the white power structure, is now in prison. So much for they used him and then threw him out. And the concept was very simple. New Orleans had to be smaller, whiter, and more affluent. The particular group they were most concerned about was the low-income poor. And they wanted to say the low-income criminal element, which is not true at all. Many of the people they wanted out were elderly. Many of the people they wanted out were high school kids. They just wanted richer, whiter, and smaller, and they got it. New Orleans is only 70,000 people smaller, but 100,000 black people smaller. I know a lot now. I mean, I'm going to try to organize it for you in a minute. 818-985-5735. So the first thing they did, and this is, I'm doing one of the chapters, my new book is called Anatomy of a Genocide. How do you carry out a genocide? And the first thing to understand about genocide under the United Nations Charter is it doesn't mean wiping out the people. Thank God. That's to say, we assume genocide because of the Jews, but there's been genocide against indigenous people, but the indigenous people are here. They're fighting. So we don't want genocide to imply past tense. You can undo a genocide, you know, through revolution is how you undo it, not through even reparations. But I want to explain what the genocide was so I can explain to you what we can do to undo it. All right, so the first thing that happened was, from the immediate nature of the storm, was to criminalize immediately and militarize. It's unbelievable. I mean, the Northridge earthquake, mainly white people, they got their homes back. They've been rebuilt. I mean, there was like no earthquake, you know? From the minute that Katrina hit, Governor Blanco brought in troops. So that's, you need to understand that. There was a military occupation of New Orleans. The second thing is there was a forced dispersal. So that's number two. People who didn't want to leave were told they had to leave. And they weren't put like 20 miles away. They were put on buses to Shreveport, buses which is 5 hours away. Put to Houston, a lot in Houston, mm-hmm. a lot in Atlanta. People were sent to L.A. And people were getting on buses and saying, well, I'd like to get off now. They said, no, 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 you're going to Atlanta. You can't get off now. So the first thing was the forced dispersal. After that, the next thing, as Indisha points out, was the breaking of the levee itself. Because as everybody's pointed out, the hurricane was not the primary cause of all the suffering, but the hurricane plus the breaking of the levee. And that's dealing with the issue of imperialist infrastructure, 818-985-5735. That is to say, capitalism is so bad, is so boondoggle, that it won't even build its own roads. It won't even build its own bridges. The next thing that happened was, and I just met with Jacques Morial, a terrific organizer from the Morial family. There had been two mayors in that family, a very influential black family, but Jacques is more the community organizing wing, a great guy. And we pointed out no public schools. Their goal was to stop for 1 year. No public schools, no public housing, no public transportation, and no public hospitals. So the ruling class privatized these facilities in order to stop them, to cut them off from people. The next thing that happened, which is very important, was the destruction of public housing. I was in New Orleans a year after Katrina, and I was shown around. The public housing was pretty darn good. I was shocked. It was two stories, solid concrete and steel. It looked like all it needed was like a massive mineral bath to get rid of the mold. And then, yeah, why not put in $50 to $100 million to really make it beautiful? Instead, they tore it down. They tore down viable public housing because I think it's in Indisha's interview. Public housing was not only going to be for the people to go back. Public housing could have been, because there were vacancies, a place for people to land until they could find other housing. I'm going to go on in a minute, 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. Help KPFK, because I want to say something that's really important. Anytime I have an idea, and I just met with Alan and Leslie like a month ago, and I said, hey, we want to do a two-hour special about New Orleans on the 10th anniversary and Julian Bond. And Alan said, just give me a week, you know, because this is Ian's slot at 5 o'clock. We're going to preempt, and we're going to work with Ian so he knows it's coming. Give him a week. And a week later, we had a two-hour special, folks. And we had Judy Richardson, one of the veterans, and she did Eyes on the Prize. We had Clay Carson, who did Eyes on the Prize. Mm-hmm. We had Indicia. Folks, I'm worried. You know, I don't want to oversell, you know what I mean, because I feel like, don't we get it? You know, that we could have a two-hour special, and we're going to have a lot more specials about Katrina, because one of the things that the Strategy Center is just starting to think about is bringing the issue of the 100,000 to the United Nations Climate Conference in Paris in 2015,
right.
Because
right.
We are arguing that it's a crime against humanity and it's solvable. Because if you want to get rid of 100,000 people, you can get back 100,000 people. 818-985-5735. Can I ask my friend Alan to both tell us why to give money, and I'm going to go, and then, would it be okay to play some more Indicia Jakali after Alan gives a fundraising appeal, okay?
Okay, here we go. Folks, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. A lot of people have called up already this hour. The featured premium is just a $50 pledge to KPFK. If you don't already have a copy, the book is Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. Vijay Prashad, who is a great historian, I believe at the University in Hartford, Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. I know he wrote like a People's History of the Third World, I think is the name of one of his books. And he's a great author. And he says about Katrina's legacy, the book is excellent. Man has a distinct talent for drawing political lessons from historical events. Every movement needs a map. Katrina's legacy takes us to the ravaged Gulf Coast and shows us how to find the road toward a third reconstruction. America needs this movement, and Eric helps us find our way. That's Vijay Prashad on Katrina's Legacy, a $50 thank you gift when you call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And for a $100 pledge, get it along with two other books by Eric Mann, 818-985-5735. And Eric is back.
Yeah, we're at $1,100, folks. Pretty darn good. The phones have slowed a little, but they were off the hook. We really still have 20 more minutes. Let's try to get to at least to $2,000. I want to keep talking because I realize that I do have a lot to say, having just come back. One of the things I understood in coming back to New Orleans is what, again, this concept of genocide, and one of the things I realize it's about is breaking the spirit of a people. See, you can get rid of the public housing, you can get rid of the public schools, you can get rid of public transportation, but you can get those back if you have a movement. So what Jacques Morial taught me is that the first thing they did was break the back of the teachers' union. The privatization of the schools was a lot, not just about privatization, but that the teachers' union, New Orleans Teachers' Union, was an overwhelmingly black institution. 818-985-5735. As Jacques was explaining to me, if you had a health care bill, you went to the teachers' union. If you wanted to control the police, you went to the teachers' union. They were not just for teachers. They were what Lenin wanted the unions to be like, which is fighting for all the people. So they were imagining, and also, now this is Beverly Wright's voice, the black middle class in New Orleans was a not very wealthy middle class. It was mainly teachers, as an example. Mm. And the black middle class, all that it meant is you owned your home. 98% of the people in the lower ninth owned their home, which people didn't realize. And I want to tell you a little bit about what Beverly Wright, she's a professor at Dillard College, and a good, I'm happy to say a good friend. I didn't get to see her in New Orleans, but we had a two-hour conversation on Monday. I want to talk about the black home and what Obama did to destroy the black homes, not just, unfortunately, what Katrina did. 818-985-5735. If you like these politics, if you like this movement, please keep giving money. What I came to understand, but I lived in black communities most of my life, is you can always put more water in the soup. You can always put somebody, more people on the couch. There have been these black homes that have been modest, sometimes in need of repair, but passed down from generation to generation. New Orleans had the largest amount of continuity of any black community in the United States.
Right.
Many people lived on the same street, on the same house,
right.
three, four, five generations. So the concept of when people's houses were flooded, and the I just met with this, I won't say this young, this older, I should say, professional man, and he kept saying, well, after this, I left, and I went to this. I said, well, what happened in New Orleans? And he just said, I lost everything. And he didn't want to talk about it. You know, he just said it like, so then he went, so Baton Rouge again. So he just wanted to talk about Baton Rouge. He was living back in New Orleans at the time. So the point is that when the homes were destroyed, there's a whole discussion that people were paid up to $150,000. And there's a whole, hopefully, section in my book that I can finish by Saturday when we go to the prayer, is about how the loans were given out by FEMA and how the loans were given out by different housing authorities. It was based on assessed valuation. So instead of everybody getting the same amount of money to rebuild a house, if you were living in a lower income black area, you would get up to $150,000 based on the assessed valuation. And the other person would get up to $150,000 based on there, but the white people got all the $150,000s.
Mm.
And the black people were getting 30s and 40s
mm-hmm.
and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we're in this restaurant, that Jacques is taking to me, this wonderful soul food restaurant, the guy next to us just says, tell him about the issue about them we couldn't get loans after they loaned us the money. And so his point was, yeah, you get a certain amount of money from FEMA, and then you have to still go out and refinance your house. But if you're refinancing a broken-down house, I don't mean broken down by Katrina,
mm-hmm.
broken down by the flood, you have to have very good credit. And a lot of the value of the black home is that you didn't have to have good credit because you just gave it to your son, gave mm-hmm. it to your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, these people who have not been in the market
mm-hmm.
start having been forced to go back in the market. And this, remember now, the banks don't want to loan money to black people. So all these things happening, that's the point people are saying. I don't like conspiracies because I think imperialism is one big conspiracy. You know what I mean? What it does in front of you is the conspiracy. But this was the most willful ruling class organized effort at a genocide, because what it meant was we have to break the back of two things, and this is what I learned. One, the black homeowner,
mm-hmm.
and two, the black middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Beverly tries to point out, Dr. Beverly Wright, she's a big defender of the black middle class. Because, one, the black middle class gets so attacked for having anything,
mm-hmm.
you know. And two, 818-985-5735, the black middle class, again, this is Beverly's voice, nobody in New Orleans had a family of just one class. You could have a PhD and your brother's in jail. You could have a PhD and your sister is on public assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So the black middle class, first of all, was the core of holding the entire extended family together. 818-985-5735. So give some money to this, the point of which is, a lot of my work around Katrina now is being supported by KPFK, not financially supported, but morally supported. The fact that I can go and do this work and then have a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was saying, tell our story,
mm-hmm.
tell our story. Well, mm-hmm. I can say, I'll go tell it on KPFK, mm-hmm. 90.7 mm-hmm. FM. So I'm in New Orleans on Sunday, and I'm here on Tuesday following up Indisha Jakali's wonderful interview with firsthand interview, and I'm going to tell you about the Lower Ninth and Brad Pitt homes in a minute. 818-985-5735. We already broke $1,100, folks. Alan's going to make another appeal.
I'll do that.
And let's keep going.
Yeah, I'm going to have people call 818-985-5735. I'm going to check on the phone room total. We're trying to get to $2,000 before the top of the hour here. We got about 9 minutes left. The book is Katrina's Legacy. It's a $50 pledge, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. Again, Glenn Ford says about the book, places the Gulf catastrophe in the historical context of racist capitalist rule in the U.S. at a crucial time when the cracks in the ruling class levies are visible for all to see. Mann provides political leadership, the outlines of a plan for action, and calls us to our battle stations. That's from Glenn Ford. Again, a familiar voice to KPFK listeners. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Call, pledge whatever you can. make sure that KPFK remains on the air. We have Voices for the Front Lines continuing to be on this over-the-air signal in Southern California. We got to preserve this radio station. Call 818-985-5735. A $100 pledge get Katrina's Legacy plus two other books by Eric Mann. 818-985-5735. The number to call. I'm going to go check on the totals and come right back.
So I'm going to tell you another story. And again, whoever called in and did anything on behalf of my grandchildren, whoever you are, it means obviously more than I can express. The lower ninth, folks, it's scary. When they say it wasn't rebuilt 10 years later, I don't know what I thought. I mean, I thought, okay, it's 60% rebuilt. Really, that 40% of it, it was like a ghost town. I went there with a photographer. I decided not to do a photo essay once I got there. It was too barren, too hopeless. First, I did go to the Brad Pitt homes. That's a pretty funny story. I mean, there are not that many of them. They're, you know, I don't know. You know, the Indicia Jacali's expose of the Brad Pitt story, it is pretty sad. These are very strange-looking houses. They're not bad, you know. But the first thing is they're not New Orleans houses. So the second thing is I luckily went to see a woman who lived in one of the Brad Pitt homes. And I said, how is it? She says, it's all right. I said, all right. Yeah, she says, yeah, it's got some problems, some electrical problems. These are brand new houses. And, you know, so Mr. Brad Pitt, you hear you got some problems in your houses. Secondly, she said, you know, we bought it. We didn't get it. Brad Pitt didn't give me anything. So people don't like calling them the Brad Pitt homes, you know. And she had been moving in because her son had cancer, and she moved back with her mother. Guess what, folks? In one person I talked to, that is the story. Her mother had a home. So the issue of black home ownership is her son gets cancer, and she goes to stay with her mom, and then her son goes into remission, and she goes back to this other town that I got to learn. So I had a wonderful time there, but here's the thing I'm trying to say. It's a ghost town. First of all, there's no roads. There's no roads in the lower Ninth Ward 10 years later. You're on a truck. I was on an SUV. It was so bumpy, it was crazy. When I was in Mexico in 1974, the roads were really bad, right? So I said to the guy, what's up with the road? He says, todo está en la balsa. You know, everything's, these politicians got everything in the bag. They don't fix the roads. But this is crazy. There's no roads in the lower Ninth Ward. It's like a ghost town. Then I would go up to people and say, hey, is there a church around here? And people go, church. I think try Reverend so-and-so down there. There was no church we could find on a Sunday. It's a black church. You can't find a black church in a black neighborhood on a Sunday. There was no street life. There was nobody. I mean, when I lived in Newark, or if you live in South L.A., everybody's on the street. In fact, I was just hearing in L.A., you know, in my gym, black people saying, man, every time four of us get together, sitting around, they call us a gang. So at least they got four people to hang around. There was nothing, Alan. It was scary. I mean, it was, you got to go see it. And what I realized about the photo exhibit is I said, you know what? I make word pictures. I don't need a photographer. That I don't want to show. I can make this stuff come to life because I'm a writer. That's my job, is to tell you a story. I'm a storyteller. But it was a hard story to see. And I'm talking about a level of neglect 10 years later, Katrina at 10. When this city is boasting about its rebuild, I'll come back to that in a minute. 818-985-5735. How are we doing?
Well, we're only up about another $100, so we got to get the calls. Let's get these calls coming in right now at 818-985-5735. We have 5 minutes left to go maximum in the hour now. We need phone calls coming in, supporting this station. Powerful critique, and again, framing the Katrina tragedy in terms of what is unfolded in New Orleans, its relationship to broader power structures in the society, imperialism, capitalism, racism. You don't hear it anywhere else, folks. We need to keep this over the airwaves in Southern California. We need to keep KPFK on the airwaves. 818-985-5735.
I got a premium for you. For $1,000, I'll have dinner with you.
There we go.
I'm serious. There's a great restaurant right next to KPFK. What's the name of it? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great restaurant.
You're not supposed to do that.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that. All right.
Well, I'm not. You can.
All right, I can. So it's a great restaurant. It's got a bar. it's got great kind of hummus and salads and stuff like that. So, as this other person who has a show says, you come in, you'll sit in studio with me from 4 to 5 on a Tuesday, and then afterwards we will give you a tour of the KPFK studios led by Alan Minsky. And then you can get to meet G, the board operator. You can, okay, you can't meet G, the board operator. And then you're going to have dinner with me, and you can bring a friend, and I am deeply interested in you. I want so much to get to know you. I care about you so much for $1,000. And I mean, there's no way. And give KPFK $1,000, and you have dinner with me. And I want to know so much about your life.
Hey, you know,
KPFK 90.7 FM. I'm serious. For $1,000, every Tuesday we'll go after the show and raise $1,000.
You know, the write ups on the back of the books about what Eric does in his writings. Of course, he's a very sophisticated analyst of American society and global society. But Eric Mann is, for people out there who don't know, probably the person who's had as much influence on your life as probably any public figure in Southern California, because Eric has, of course, influenced the transportation systems in Los Angeles through his work at with the Bus Riders Union Labor Community Strategy Center, through to the present, and certainly over these past few decades. The transformation of Los Angeles that has been evolving over the past few decades, the gentleman I'm sitting in this room with has had an undue influence on that. So I encourage people to call in. First of all, pledge support. Make certain that this show and this radio station remain on this airwaves right here at 90.7. There's no broadcast media like it in the country. And also, the $1,000 pledge, come on, meet Eric Mann. Very serious and very important, certainly regional historical figure and great analyst of world systems, as it were. Not to put you in the tradition of Emmanuel Wallerstein, because I know there's difference there, but 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Call, pledge support, pick up these books, $100 pledge for 3 books. Give anything you can just to give. Become a sustainer to KPFK, $10 a month. That's $120 a year. Keep this radio station on the air, 818-985-5735.
And the last thing is, even though I was being a wise guy about the $1,000, I really would love to have dinner with you guys. And yes, you can bring up to 4 people, because it's not a very expensive restaurant. It's just great. And we're not, I don't know if we are allowed to. So I won't say. But let's just say that they have a bar that's great, and they have food that's great, and we'll have a great time.
And it's on Tuesday. All right. As long as you're over 21.
All right. Yeah. So 818-985-5735. I'm serious. For a $1,000 pledge, you come in here, you stay in studio, you put the headphones on, we'll take a tour of KPFK. You'll meet some of the people in the phone room. You'll meet some of the people. I'm serious. There's some amazing people here. And that'll be a cool thing, actually, Alan, for you to do a tour and show
and before the show, we'll go up to the archives, too, which is really just a phenomenal thing to see. And, they'll be closed at 5, but before the show, maybe people can get here at 3. We can tour the archives, then the studios, then more of the studios after the show.
Okay.
And it'll be a whole afternoon and early evening.
All right, so we're going to make it happen. 818-985-5735. This is Eric Mann saying goodbye. We are on Voices from the Frontlines. Do want to thank G, without whom this program is not possible, Alan Minsky, and the whole station. In the last 5 minutes, folks, often we go right at the edge and say, if you're still going to give at 6 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, say this is from Voices from the Frontlines, so we get credit for your contribution. Take good care, everybody. I'll see you soon. In fact, I'll see you next Tuesday for another hour of Voices. Another hour raising money for KPFK. Take good care.